incredible teaching methods that Jesus used as he was here on this earth was to pick up on things that were before everybody's eyes and use those to teach kingdom principles. Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." Immediately, every single one of us, we get the house picture, we get the rock picture, and we know, we understand what he's saying. Get it solid. Get it on a solid foundation. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be worth anything?" So the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, that the merchant went off. When he found that pearl of great price, he went off and sold everything that he had to come back and purchase that field. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden that those who are wise go forth and find. I want to talk to you this morning about the treasure of kingdom service. I love serving the Lord. When the psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness," I say, I'm right there. I have people all the time who try to take that gladness away from me. But you're not going to get my gladness. Today's message picks up on something that is very, very common. I should know how many people are on Facebook. See, you know? Isn't it? It's like 40 million or... I mean, it's an incredible number worldwide now of the number of people who are on Facebook. So I would like to offer this to you today, that kingdom service is like Facebook. Here we go. Are you ready? How many are on Facebook? How come you're not my friends? For the longest time, my wife wasn't even my friend. I finally said to her, I said, one day, I said, "You know, what is it? You just don't want to be my friend?" She said, "Well, I never thought about it." Kind of says it all, doesn't it? I want you to understand something, just right off the bat, if you get lost in all of the allegory here, then at least you can find it yourself on this. We've been talking about kingdom service all month. And it's so easy for every one of us, when we think of kingdom service, we think about serving as ushers, working in the nursery, working in Christian education, serving on a board, being a youth sponsor. We immediately go to something that we do inside the body of Christ or with the church. Now, I'm not diminishing that at all, but I want you to realize this morning, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to realize, that kingdom service is not really as much about the doing as it is about the being. And so, as we unpackage this, we're going to do it in four of the questions that Facebook asks. And if you would please put the graphic up there. Kingdom service is like Facebook. Boy, are we going to have to look at him the whole time, Steve? Oh, well, there goes the message. I'd like to just start up there in the right-hand corner on the Facebook screen. It says, what's your profile? You see, kingdom service is really all about your profile. Now, for those of you that are not, and I noticed that there are more people who are not on Facebook than are on Facebook, so I'll kind of give you a little explanation as we go along. Is everybody in here at least familiar with the term Facebook? You know it's something that's on the internet, and you use your computer to go there.
Here, click on the next one.
Why?
If you find a person on Facebook and you click on their profile, you'll get information that they've entered to describe to you and to everyone of who they are. Listed, you will find their current city, hometown, male, female, birth date, what they're interested in, languages they may speak. In the About Me section, you will also find philosophies, religion, and politics. Even their favorite quote, television shows that they like, music preferences, books, activities, and interests. If you go to a person's profile, boy, Shannon looks like he's really having that. You can get in a snapshot an understanding of who that person is. The kingdom, or kingdom service, serving in the kingdom of God, gives us an opportunity to express to the world who we are. It's like the profile in that through our service, we begin to unpackage before everybody that's watching us or a recipient of our service, they begin to see who we are, and come to an understanding. These bits and pieces of information that make up our profile serve us as an unspoken message of who we really are. Now, I've had some people from junior high. It was a long time ago that I was in junior high. I mean, we're talking a long time ago. And I've had some folks that looked for me on, why, I don't know, but they did, on Facebook, and found me and sent to me a friend request. And it's one of those things where it's like, I probably should know this person. How many of you that are on Facebook have some people that you have said yes to being their friend, and you really cannot remember who they are? Yeah, that's what I thought. But it's really neat to go to the profile and catch up on that person's life. I have some friends that I haven't seen since Bible school in the 70s, early 70s. And to go to their profile and to be able to catch up on the things that interest them and to get to know, you know, their family. When I knew that they were single, and now they've got wives and kids and grandkids, and you know, it's fascinating to see that whole piece unpackaged. I want you to see something with me. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, in what is called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins this sermon with a very interesting grouping that we call the Beatitudes. And it's basically, blessed are, and then he lists this thing out. Now, you're going to follow along, and somebody just came up to me and asked me what translation that I use on Sunday morning. Normally, I use the New International Version, okay? But today, I'm just to confuse you. But today, I want to read this from the transliteration of the Message, okay? When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed on a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God in his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer. For though they don't like it, I do. And all the heavens applaud and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Amen. Amen. You see, the profile of a believer is their greatest kingdom service. That is, who you really are speaks louder than 1,000 words. How many are believers in you? How many of you have ever had this moment where you were out, say, in a crowd of people, and you didn't know a single one of them, but as you're sitting there, and you're looking and listening, perhaps, at someone and hearing them talk, you just say to yourself, down inside your spirit, you say, you know, I bet they're a believer. And you begin to listen to the words that they say, and they may not be standing up there quoting scripture, or they may not be telling you about their church, or, you know, actually laying something out. The subject matter may be something completely different, but down inside you, there's something that is just going off and saying, they're a believer. How many have had that experience? Yeah. Isn't it magnificent? You know, that the real us has a way of oozing out. Our real person in God, of who God has made us, has a way of working itself out. Now, I've also had the other experience of that, where I was in a group of believers, you know, where everybody said that they were believers. And then there was somebody there in that group who really was not a believer. But they were there because of the function among all other believers. And they kind of stuck out. How many have had that experience? Yeah. It's interesting. See, this is the profile that I'm talking about. That just with a very few words, a very, very short amount of time in the presence of a real believer, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the power of God begins to kind of ooze out into the atmosphere. It's kingdom service at its best, where you and I are being Jesus. Amen. You know what we said we're going to do? We're going to start putting amen up here on the screen. And if you still don't react, then it's going to flash. I believe that's true. I mean, you see, this is the way it should be. Jesus said, he may be in this world, but he says, you're not of this world. He wants his power, his spirit, his glory, his presence to be in our lives to the point that it's not just when we stand up and preach and pound on pulpits and holler and things. It is when we are living our everyday life. You see, if you do this kind of kingdom service among your family, they'll know your profile. They may even make fun of you on occasion for being a believer. You know, they'll get ready to schedule something on Sunday and they'll say, well, I know Michael won't be there because he's got to go to church. And there's a part of you that wants to go, I'm sorry. But then you realize, no, I'm not. But here's the other side of that. Whenever that person who doesn't know God has a bad report from the doctor and they don't know what to do, you know, things aren't lining up in life the way that they should line up, and they've got trouble in their life, all of a sudden, because they know your profile, because they know that the power of God, the presence of Jesus is in your life, they get you on the telephone and they say, hey, would you pray for my circumstance? Now, I have to say this before I scoot on, and there's four of these, so I got to scoot on, but let me say this. If you've never had that experience, you might want to check your profile. In other words, if your family members are not seeing who you are in the kingdom of God, to the point that when they have a need that they're ringing you on the telephone, then something might be wrong with your profile. I'm telling you, these would go a lot faster if you just sort of... The second question you'll find on here is, what's on your mind? This is the place on Facebook where you can share just about anything that, my goodness, people share everything, it's sad. But you can put down your thoughts and you can put down your impressions. Some people tell you where they're at. They tell you how they feel about being where they're at. I mean, there are some folks that put things in this slot that they do that so repetitive that up in the corner, there's a little thing that you can't see it on there because you have to run your cursor over it, and it says, what does it say, block or eliminate or hide. I have to admit, I've got some friends I'm hiding. Because they've shared just a little bit too much of what's on their mind and given themselves away. This is also called your status. I think that's interesting because it's your status at that moment. What you're thinking of, what you're doing in that particular moment of time. Can I tell you this morning that what you're doing right now speaks, and it is kingdom service. It's some of the richest kingdom service. I get this all the time from people that I don't even ask for it. But they tell me, well, I worship God, I believe in Christ, but I just don't go to church. And I'm not sure exactly what they're wanting me to say, but bless your heart. I wish that more people did just like you. I don't know what they're asking when they say that, but it's some kind of a self-justification for their status. Oh, I spend lots of hours and I talk to God and I read my Bible and I do this and I do that, you know. But they're very careful to tell you, but I don't go to church because there's, you know, there's hypocrites there. And you've heard that. It's interesting to me that people are afraid of the hypocrite when they live in a world full of sinners, of arch sinners. Are you afraid of hypocrites? Jesus talked to them all the time. He said, well, he didn't have good things to say to them. Well, maybe not, but he wasn't afraid of them. Well, no, I've seen lots of people who call themselves Christians, and they say that they won't come to church because there are hypocrites there. I'm not afraid of a hypocrite. Most of them will give themselves away pretty fast. They'll give you their profile, or they'll get their status, you know, what's happening in their moment in their life, and you can identify them real fast. Kind of like our South Africa group had the tie-dye shirts on and said, South Africa 2011. Hypocrites do that. You know, they wear t-shirts that say, I am a hypocrite. You've all seen them, haven't you? You know, they're the ones that never have anything positive to say about anybody. Every service has something wrong with it. You know? I'd enjoy the service a whole lot more if Steve were told me.
Steve what?
And you say to yourself, you say, well, but how is that possible? Right? They always set up things to diminish. Now, the reason that I mentioned that is because there are these individuals who are on Facebook, who are believers, but when they're asked the question, what's on your mind? They get all wrapped up in politics. They get all wrapped up in everything. And if you don't know the profile, if you don't know them, you'd swear up and down that they were an unbeliever, a radical, probably ready to blow something up. I know you have them too. And you have to get to that little hide button as quick as you can because they just fill up the page with their status. Is this upy-yippy thing that they just came up with. Every quote that anybody gives, every little blurb that they can find on the internet, they want to transfer it over onto other people. Kingdom service is having a status that is speaking of God being present in our lives, church. The people at your work, the people that you know, your family members, what do they think of when they listen to your status? In other words, what's on your mind? What's coming out? Does it bring glory and honor to the King of the ages, or is it just filled with the garbage of this world? Guess what? This world is passing away. It's full of death. It's full of problems. It's full of difficulties. If you really know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are really walking a life of kingdom service, you're going to want your status to be more than just what this world has to offer. You're going to realize that you want to touch as many people as you can possibly touch with the positive message of God. Now, let me quickly jump on this and say, that does not mean that you have to preach a sermon every time somebody asks you what's on your mind. Hello?
Amen.
Because you see, many times, if your profile of who you really are, if your marriage and your parenting and your life is not matching up to what's on your mind, there's an inconsistency there that causes people to identify you as a hypocrite. Because you are saying one thing, but living something else. The psalmist in our text for this whole month in Psalm 100 says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Yeah! Hallelujah. Just in the reading of that, it makes you want to get up and go, yes. Somebody asked, what's on your mind? does it take you?
I've been hurt. I've been wounded.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll need a worm. I actually saw that on Facebook. The message, Psalm 100 goes like this, on your feet now. Applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into His presence. Know this, God is God, and God is God. He made us. We didn't make Him. We're His people, His well-tended sheep. Let the proclamation come forth, church. Let the glory of the Lord shine out of you. You see, some of us, we want to teach a Sunday school class, but we want to share every piece of garbage that can come out of our mind so that everybody can hear. You have an inconsistency there that is hurting the kingdom. Know this, God is God. He is listening to everything. And guess what? So is everybody else. You want to fill your life with kingdom service. You really want to do something for God. Get your profile straightened out. Begin to live your life so that others can look at your family, at your home, at your marriage, at your life, and say, wow, look what's going on there. Will everything be perfect? Absolutely not. It does not take perfection to have kingdom life. It may well be, look at how they are going through that great difficulty with the strength of the Lord. Look at how God is helping them through an impossible situation. Look at how they're handling that health situation that others fainted and fell away. Look what they are doing as they are walking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when asked what's on your mind, it may come out like this. How you doing? Oh, you wouldn't believe how bad life is. And that person saying to themselves, oh, I'm so sorry I said that. Why did I do that? You and I have an opportunity. Remember, those of you that are with us on Wednesday night, and we're studying through the book of Ephesians, and Paul unpackages this whole piece of two kingdoms that exist, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And how incredible this is that every conversation that we have, every thought that we have, every decision that we make is based, and we base it in which kingdom are we going to listen to? When we have a choice of what we're going to do in life, we have a choice to say, if we're believers, I'm going to choose the kingdom way versus the way of this world. And it becomes powerful when we choose the kingdom of heaven over the kingdoms of this world. Will we be perfect? Absolutely not. But let me tell you something. You and I can preach. We can preach by our profile of who we are and what comes out of our mouths. Jesus said this. He said, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Let me tell you something. I'm very thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. But the older that I get, the more thankful I am for the life He lived before He went to the cross. The fact that He walked and was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The fact that He was able, in the midst of being terribly fatigued and going through everything that He went through, and He still had the time to look over and to see somebody that was in need and recognize that need and leave His own comfortableness and walk over and touch them and minister to them. It gives me a wow. But you see, there was a consistency of who He was and what He spoke that allowed His message to have power, not earth, but kingdom power. So that He set the course of mankind. You and I can change the world. I said, you and I can change the world by who we are and by what we say. We just need to begin to recognize the fact that we are in kingdom service every moment of every day of our lives. Choosing this day, choosing this moment, who we will serve. Should be your hands there. Somebody's sleeping near you, just wake them up and say, it's almost over, dear, with them. I say it again, you know, many people who are believers, they want to preach on Facebook. But it's about your life. It's about your life that people need to know. Tell them your status. I'm not opposed to putting scriptures down. I will do that occasionally. I'm not opposed to that. But hear this. Tell us why you put it there. Why are you putting that scripture in the status? Are you just trying to preach to somebody else? Then I can tell you right now that most people will just go right over the top of it and not read it. But if you say to them, I've been struggling wanting things. I've been struggling wanting the things that everybody else has. And I just stumbled on to what the Apostle Paul says at the end of the book of Philippians, and you bring it out there. I am learning that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And all of a sudden now you've given us your status that says, I am on a journey. I have feelings and emotions just like everybody else, but I am choosing kingdom life, and it's starting to have a difference in me. I am learning in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You get the difference? One's just you trying to preach and throw something out over other people's lives, and the other one's really telling them what your status is, of what's happened in your life. When's the last time, those of you that are on Facebook, that you took the time, when it says what's on your mind, to tell them, I was lost, I was hopeless, I was without God, I had no hope of eternity, and I found Jesus as my Savior. You know, I kind of amazed sometimes that when we have testimony times on Wednesday night and things, I'm amazed that more people don't stand up. You say, well, that's old. No, that's today. He said, but I was saved 50 years ago, but are you still saved today? What's your status today? What's on your mind? He said, we forget. The kingdom servants is us. It's who we are. It's what we say that is having a great effect. It's not whether you teach Sunday school or serve on the board or take up the offering. Praise God for those that are stepping out and doing that. But that's easy. What the world needs is believers who are a reflection of Christ. I gotta go on. Oh, yes, I gotta go on. What is there to chat about? Down in the corner, or down over here, it actually says, what does it say? Friends on chat. And you can actually click on one of their pictures, or you can go down to the right-hand corner down there, and you can click on chat, and you can see who's online, and you can click on their name, or you can type them a little message, and then the two of you can chat back and forth. I always think of an old song that comes to mind. Home, home of the rain. Dear seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. You know, you think what's on your mind is something, go into chat. Oh my goodness. It doesn't ooze out. I mean, it gushes out of people. Of all the stuff that's going on in their lives, and who they like and who they don't like. I mean, it's amazing. Paul addressed this in our conversations. He said this in Ephesians 5. He said, but among you, that is, those of you that are servants in the kingdom, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. I just take that one step forward. I'm not trying to add to the Word of God, but I think I can substantiate it in a number of places, if time would permit. And that is that if you are part of the kingdom of God, you are going to watch your words. Because you recognize that you are in kingdom service every moment of every day, in every circumstance that you go through, and you will give away your heart with your words. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we give away our heart by what we chat about. James says it like this, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's able to keep his whole body in check. Well, that's an objective for us. If we can keep our tongues in check, if we can watch what we chat about, if we can control the things and the conversations that we have, we can actually keep our whole body in check if we can do that. I like what Psalm 100 verse 4 says in the message. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank Him and worship Him. Hallelujah. What if you got on Facebook and if we were friends? If you got on Facebook and you saw your pastor anxious about some political issue and I put some kind of an expletive in there on Facebook because I was passionate about this political thing. You would change your whole opinion of me, wouldn't you? Hello? Wouldn't you? In just that one little chat box, just a couple of phrases, everything that you believe that I'm about would come into question. How many agree with that statement? You'd question it. You're preaching all the time. You're chatting all the time. See, sometimes on the job, we want to be popular, guys. We don't want people thinking poorly of us. And we forget, I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God. And so when you hear the dirty joke, instead of going and washing your mind out, you take the dirty joke on to somebody else and you go, and you share the dirty joke with them. Can I tell you right now that when you do that little chat, and you step out of the character of your profile, if your profile is really a kingdom profile, if you are really a believer and really serving God, but you just in that moment decide to do that, everything changes for those that are listening to you. Because see, in reality, your life is no different than my life. Oh, I might be the one up here, the spotlight's on, I'm standing at this desk and preaching the message, but you preach every single day, every single moment of the day, to your family, to your friends, to those that you work with. You are preaching constantly through what you're chatting. And they are listening intently. And with one breath, if you're talking about the things of God, and with the next breath, you're telling the latest dirty joke, you have just wiped the slate of any promise of leading them to the kingdom. I'm overwhelmed with Facebook sometimes because these individuals, I know them to be Christians. And I look at some of their chats, and I look at some of the status that they put on, and I'm amazed. I'm thinking, what are you thinking? I have some relatives that I just had to hide, and I know that they love God, but they're not thinking. Because they're so into politics, and they're so into the conservative way of thinking that they're on their soapbox every single moment that they have, connecting with their friends. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, those that will hear this message on the CDs or out on the internet. Listen to me. Every word you speak, everything you write, everything that you are, is your kingdom service. And I've got to ask you today, what are you preaching? What are you preaching? Because you see, those same individuals that get to know who you are by learning your profile, those same individuals that get to hear what's on your mind, those same individuals that are listening to you chat every single day, you may turn to them sometime and say, here's a Get Connected card. I'd love for you to come to my church. We're having a great time at my church. And that person will look at that card and go, are they all like you? Hello? You want to be saved? Well, they're all moving toward Jesus. They're all giving Him the best of their lives. Loving and reaching toward Him. Don't you walk out here this morning and say, well, Pastor Bill said we've all got to be perfect. Because it's not perfection that the world is looking from us. What they're looking for is honesty. You hear me? They're looking for honesty. Be who you are. If you're wanting everything that this world has, if you're wanting this kingdom and you're wanting to embrace it, then embrace it. But if you're wanting the kingdom of God, then embrace the kingdom of God in every aspect of your life. You say, well, Pastor Bill, that's a bold statement. You know, Jesus said it this way to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation. He said, you are either hot or cold, because if you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He has no interest in those who are standing up before the world and calling themselves believers, raising themselves up to be kingdom servants, but who are embracing this world with everything in them. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Choose one. Choose the other. Why would he say that? Because you see, if you choose the world, and then when this world does not take you where you're really wanting to go, the hope is, the prayer is, that you will abandon the pursuits of this world and begin to chase after the kingdom of God. But as long as you've got one foot in each thing and think you're doing just fine, you're in deep trouble. Because these kingdoms are about to split. Right now, you can live in two and get by with it for a while. But the day is coming, it's coming on us fast, where these kingdoms will split. And if you belong to the kingdom of God, I mean really belong to the kingdom of God, you're going to be ushered into the kingdom of heaven in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's my heart. So I'm not going to just chase for it in my mind or in my desires, but I've got to chase it in my words, in my deeds, and in who I am. Finally this morning, I take the last thing, and that is, what are you planning? Oh, wow. What are your plans? It's a section on Facebook where friends can go and post things that are happening in their lives, where they would like others to be a part. This concert, that, you know. And so they will put that in there, and you can see Eddie Godson's birthday. Two event invitations on this one. So you can see how it kind of comes up. When one of your friends puts an invitation up there, that's the way it's listed. I've been invited to concerts, art exhibits, wedding showers, I don't know, special service and some not-so-special services. We all make our plans. Parties, celebrations, vacations, but all of these are earthy and earthly and temporal. There's nothing wrong with us making plans. But can I tell you this morning that those who are in kingdom service have a different mindset about making plans? James chapter 4, verse 13 and following says this, "And now I have a word for you who brashly announce, today at the latest, tomorrow we're off to such and such a city for a year. We're going to start a business and make lots of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make a habit to say, if the Lord wills it and we're still alive, we'll do this or that. As it is, you're full of grandiose self. All such vaunting self-importance is evil. In fact, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that for you is evil." Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus says this, "So you, kingdom dwellers, so you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Coming to the understanding that if you are living in the kingdom of God, that this split between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God is about to occur. And you know what? It should affect everything we do in our lives. I ask you this morning, if Jesus would come on a Sunday morning, where do you want to be? This is an easy one, isn't it? Come on. Where do you want to be? I want to be in church. I mean, I think that's the neatest of all scenarios where we're, you know, Steve has us up and we're praising and worshiping, singing, "I exalt thee." And all of a sudden, the trumpeter steps to the threshold of heaven, sounds the blast, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine? Now that's church. Woo. Woo. What do you think about it? What Jesus said, be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you think not. We're kind of all ready for him when we're here. Kind of like, "Look at me, Lord, I'm ready. I'm singing your praise. I just served as an usher. I just did this. Wow, God, you've got to be terribly impressed. Come on, get me." But what if he comes on Friday night? What if he comes on Saturday night? What if he comes Tuesday at 10? Are you ready for him then? You see, the question is, what are you planning? What's your future look like? You see, those that are really wanting the kingdom of God to be expressed in their lives, they not only get the profile set so that their life begins to line up to the desire of their heart, they not only begin to change what's coming from their minds to where they're communicating with other people and what they're chatting about, but they also start changing what the future looks like. Say, you know what? I have been so incredibly busy chasing after the stuff of this world, making it my all in all, and I realize that that's not good kingdom service. So you know, I'm going to quit a little of this, and I'm going to quit some of that, and I'm going to quit some of that, so that I can free up some time to just set at the Master's feet. To just come and listen to Him. And at a church, I'm not even talking about coming to another church service or something. I'm talking about you and God having time. I just know that if we went person by person in here and we say, what are you planning for this week? Some of you would reach in your pocket, you'd pull out your calendar. Some of you would pull open your iPhone and you would go to your calendar and you could tell me what Monday looks like and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and you'd have the whole week laid out. I challenge you this morning. Is God's name on your calendar? Has He got, what time does He have? He said, well, you know, when I'm done with everything else, I hope at the end of some of these days to be able to spend time with God. One thing that you will learn about God and about His kingdom is that He said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What are you planning? People who are really into kingdom service are people that are planning times with God. Because they recognize that their profile cannot be what it needs to be. That what's on their mind cannot be what it needs to be. The things that they chat about cannot be what they need to be if they are not planning to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Jesus, taking the disciples who watched Him do miracles that would just blow our minds, raise the dead, open blind eyes, set the cripple on their feet, move them forward, release those who were in bondage to evil spirits. They watched all of those things. But on the most important life, night of their life and of Jesus' life, they slept. And He came and He shook them away and said, guys, wake up. Can't you just wait with me for 1 hour? Lest you fall into temptation. You see, he was not trying to force them to stay awake so that He would have company. He was saying to them, guys, it's for you. It's for you and for what is ahead for you that you need to be awake and waiting with me and praying and preparing yourself. I would challenge you with this, and I close. Don't you love those words? And you know, I challenge you with this. When you can truthfully sit down and predict everything that's going to happen during the next week in your life.
Thank you.
Every accident, every health issue, every difficulty in relationships. When you're able to predict all of those things of what your week is really going to be about, and maybe you don't need God. But until then. Hello? But until then. Now, please understand, I'm talking this morning to believers here. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are proclaiming that He is the Lord of your life, and that you are serving in His kingdom, we're talking about what that service really looks like. It looks like Facebook. It looks like a profile that speaks to the kingdom of God. It looks like a message of what's on your mind that is proclaiming the mind of Christ to all who would read it. And what are you chatting about is, you know, the things that you're just exchanging with other people. Your casual life is full of intent. And what you're planning is conceived in the presence of God. You see, people who are really determined to serve the Lord in His kingdom, they wake up in the morning and they say, God, what do you want me to do this day? He said, no, Pastor, I got to go to work. And God knows that. He's the one that gave you the job that you have. He's the one that sells the parts and the pieces parts that enable you to continue to have the job that you have. He's the one that gives you favor in the eyes of the bosses when they're sitting down and they're laying people off and they say, you know, not this one. They don't know why, but it's because God is leaning over their shoulder and saying, you know, that one's mine. I'm taking care of them and I'm not ready for them to move to another job. So you're going to keep them in place. Hello? So to kneel down and to get in His presence, and before you plan your day, you consult Him and you say, Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you want? That, my friends, is kingdom service. How many have a different perspective of kingdom service this morning?